2 Chronicles 30. The Passover was established in Exodus chapter 12, verse 2. And so you know that's the final event when Israel, the Hebrews, left Egypt. But God established something that night. He said, in the first month, this will be the beginning of months, is what he said in Exodus chapter 12. Now, and that many years later, we come to 2 Chronicles chapter 30. In fact, if we go back one chapter, we find that King Hezekiah in chapter 29 and verse 1 and 2, it says, Hezekiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And so we've got a good king now. That's, you know, important. We've got a good leader in Israel, and he wants the people to honor God. He wants to restore worship. He wants to restore sacrifice. He wants them to remember where they came from. Guys, that's important for us to remember where we came from. To remember what made this country great. To remember why it is where we are now, in the good sense especially. Churches, you know, we celebrated our 50th, and to remember, you know, how that came about. There's a history there. There were people who cared about souls, and that's why they established another church. And, you know, and through the years, they've kept, you know, different people have been in here making it work and keeping it all together. And I appreciate everybody that is continuing that. And we got to remember where we come from. Can't forget our history. That's why it's so dangerous when they try to rewrite history and destroy all the monuments and statues and memorials and all that. I get that it upsets some people. We got to remember where we came from. Got to remember what's happened to get us where we are. And so Hezekiah wants them to remember the Passover, not just in the Exodus and remember what God did to free them from Egypt, but God said, this shall be an ordinance throughout your generations. You will observe this every year, the first month of the year. And that was the time when they would bring their sacrifices. That was a time when the blood would be spilled, shed, so that they could have the grace of God, the mercy of God in the nation. But over a series of events, and this king and that king and this war and that war and this battle and that battle, you know, they refocused. And sometimes we lose our focus and we lose our memory, don't we, when it comes to the things that are important, and we get distracted by the things that are going on, and we begin to dismiss some things. And that's what had happened. In chapter 30, verse 1, Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, wrote letters also to Ephraim, Manasseh, remember they're on the other side, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. The king said that. He didn't say, well, you know, we can't say that because there might be some people of different religions. He didn't say, well, we don't want to offend anybody, so we got to, you know, keep it kind of neutral. And we don't want to have an endorsement of one religion. Guys, I'm fine with the government of the United States not having an endorsement of one religion, because who knows which one they'd pick today. So I'm fine with the separation in that regard to the government not having control over faith. But here's the king saying, we need to get back to God. Boy, it'd be great to have a king that would say that. And it'd be great to have leaders, you know, true statesmen that would stand up and say faith is important for our country. Yes, it's important for each of us, and it's important for the home, but it's important for the country. And it'd be great to have some leaders to step up, some statesmen to say that. So the king sent out a decree. Verse 2, the king had taken counsel. His princes, all the congregation in Jerusalem, to keep the Passover in the second month. Well, hold on a second. That's not what God said. That's not what God said. What, second month? What happened? Well, here's the problem. He noticed in the first month, nobody showed up. Not only had they not shown up, but look at verse 3. They could not keep it at that time because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently. Neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. Can you imagine having Passover and its time, and the king looking forward to it? He knows his Bible, right? He knows when we're supposed to have Passover. The first month rolls around, and he's ready. Man, he's getting ready, and nobody else is ready. And he says, what happened to Passover? Oh, well, the priests aren't ready. What do you mean the priests aren't ready? Well, you know, they're busy with other things. They're distracted. They've got other things going on. They're not ready. And by the way, nobody showed up. You know, wouldn't it have been something if all the nation of Israel had shown up and the priests weren't ready? But it wasn't the case. You see, from top to bottom and all the way around, they had forgotten, dismissed, had disregard for God. And they said, oh, that's an old, we don't do that anymore. We don't celebrate that. We don't observe that anymore. What was it? It was only the most important event in the year. The Passover, when they remembered the Lord, the angel of God, passing over the homes that were marked by the blood of the Lamb. It represents salvation. It represents God's mercy through the sacrifice of blood. And so they just say, well, we don't do it. We're more civilized. We're sophisticated, and we don't do that anymore. Right? That's what happens. The priest said, well, the people don't want it. And if the people, we want to give the people what they want. And so you know what they had? They had altars for other gods. They had incense altars for other gods. And so they had allowed the world to creep into God's house, into God's mountain, and they were observing other things, and they were probably celebrating other holidays, and they were having other festivals. But when it came to the primary function of faith, the Passover and forgiveness and the blood, they say, well, we don't want to do that anymore. Can you imagine? Top to bottom, they all disregarded it. They had not sanctified, the Bible says, they had not sanctified themselves sufficiently. And the people had not gathered. Verse 5, they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem. And here it is, for they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it is written. They just quit doing it. You know, look at our churches today. There are a lot of people, and God's people. And I know that God didn't say assemble at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. I know that. But he did say not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's in the Word. That is written. And so we're supposed to come together. And we've got people who have just quit going to church. They weren't mad at anybody. They just didn't care. It's not that they hate the church, not that they're mad at the church, they didn't get their feelings hurt, they just stopped coming. They just lost interest. But let me ask you a question. What if everybody followed that suit? There'd be no church. How would people get saved? Well, we would still, you know, we still, each one of us could still share the gospel, really. A lot of people don't do that anyway. And the one thing that keeps us charged up and reminded to do that is coming into God's house and having this pep rally every week. But people don't do it. What if we had no church? What if we had no missionaries? Guys, it's not just our ministry that God has given us to be faithful to. What about those missionaries around the world when those funds dry up? Guys, I'm telling you, I get a request every day from different missionaries. The requests never stop. And it's not because they're being selfish, and it's not because they're lazy. They're working hard. They just don't have the funding. Every day. And if America doesn't do it, who's going to do it? And if Capitol Heights doesn't do it, who's going to do it? We've got to get our people back in God's house. We've got to get our people interested in God again. Because I'm telling you something, if they don't go to church, I mean, are they watching church on TV? I know we've got people who are not here because of physical constraints. I understand that. I thank God that we have the ability to broadcast. But there's nothing that replaces coming into God's house. And, you know, I've heard people say this, you know, from the period of time when you couldn't be here and you came back, you said, oh, we wanted to be here, and there's just nothing like it. Coming to be with God's people, being together in God's house. But they lost interest. The priests lost interest. The people lost interest. They hadn't done it for a long time. And then there's that key word, as it is written. You know what had happened? A lot of people quit caring what was written. And when we quit caring what's written, we're in trouble. When the churches and the preachers and the pastors and the teachers get away from the Word of God and start talking about everything else but God's Word, we're in trouble. Because then even those people who go to church faithfully, because it's just part of their routine and they want to be in a church, and they get in there and the preacher doesn't talk about God's Word and doesn't teach God's Word, we leave ignorant. We have ignorant Christianity in our country. That's why we teach the way we do and preach the way we do. Expository preaching, line upon line and verse upon verse. And I know some, like Wednesday night, I mean, there were things in that lesson, it was uncomfortable. Now people that didn't see it are going to watch it, aren't they? Some things you go, well, I don't know how I feel about that. And it'd be very easy, if some preachers would, just skip over that part and go to the next verse. But you got to deal with it. Because the last thing I want is for you to go out there and talk to people about the Bible and they bring up a verse and you're not prepared because your preacher wouldn't talk about it. We're in trouble with that stuff. As it is written. They forgot its significance. They abandoned it. They dismissed as it is written. What does your church believe about such and such? Well, the Bible says. What does your pastor preach? Well, the Bible says. That's what matters. I mean, it matters what your church believes and it matters what your preacher preaches. But it better be what the Bible says. That's why we need to read it and study it and understand it and dig in. And if you have a question, call me. And if I don't know, I'll call Brother Andy. We'll get it figured out. And we'll study on it and we'll get an answer. They dismissed as it is written. Look at verse number 10. We didn't get there yet. Let's look at it. The post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even to Zebulun. They laughed them to scorn and mocked them. You remember when they finished all that needed to be finished on the west side of Jordan? And Joshua said to those tribes that were on the east side, he said, oh, y'all can go home. You've helped us enough. We appreciate it. And remember, they got it back over there and they built an altar. You remember that? They built an altar. And word got back. They said they built their own altar. They built their own. They're going to have their own religion over there. And they assembled. They got an army together and they went over there. They sent messengers and they said, what does this mean? And they said, well, it's just to memorialize that we are a part of you and you are a part of us. It's important for us to remember where we came from and that we're all one people. It's not an altar for sacrifice. It's an altar for memorial. And they said, oh okay. But see, those tribes on the east side remembered that they belonged to this nation. And now they come over there and say, hey, it's time for Passover. And they said, we don't do that anymore. I guess they forgot. I guess they didn't look at that memorial and say, what does that mean? The whole point is when our children ask, what does it mean? We can say, we're all one people and we all have one God. They laughed them to scorn. They mocked. A total disdain for God. By the way, doesn't that remind you of our current society? You want to hear about God? Hear about Jesus? Church? Well, we don't need church. We don't need the Bible. Bad enough they keep changing it to be their own kind of Bible, but they don't even read that one. I don't know why they changed it. We're in trouble. We need God. God's people have got to come back to as it is written. God's people have got to get in the Word privately. Got to get in the Word in preparation. Got to get in. Look, if I preach it, I encourage you to go home and look at it again. If you can find something where I was wrong, call me. It's happened before. You say, Pastor, are you really that insecure about your preaching? Not at all. I got my study in. I got my prayer in. But there's been times where people didn't understand or misunderstood, and we got it all cleared up. But I don't mind getting a phone call saying, I didn't quite get what you said there. I'll explain it again. As it is written. But when God's people dismiss as it is written, when the priests dismiss, I mean, why do we need priests? if they're not going to be ready? Why do we need priests if they're not going to study? Why do we need priests if they're not going to remind the people? Why do we need priests if they're not going to teach the word? Why do we need them? It had become a historical value, not a spiritual value. Verse 11, nevertheless, divers of Asher and Manasseh and of Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. You see, there were some that mocked, but there were some that responded. Remember that. Remember, though there will be some that mock, there will be those that respond. We got to keep preaching. We got to keep evangelizing. Verse 12, also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord. They're assembled at Jerusalem, much people, to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month. A very great congregation. What else should we have Passover? Well, I don't know if anybody will come. We hadn't done it in a long time. Boy, what a response, huh? Man, so many people. They had Passover. They observed. They had the festival. Much people. Verse 13, it says a very great congregation. Look at verse 14. They arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and all the altars for incense took they away and cast them in the brook Kidron. They went in there and all that distraction, all that worldliness, they cleaned it out. They said, get rid of that stuff. They threw it in the valley and got rid of it. No more of that false gods. No more of that false worship. We don't want any of that worldliness in here. We don't want any of that foreign worship in here. We want to go back to God. We want to get on track. We want to worship our God. By the way, you know, in part of his decree, we didn't read it, but he says in verse number 7 of chapter 30, be not like your fathers and like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as you see. Look around you. Man, the reason we're in this situation is because they forsook God. Think about that. We may be headed for some hard times in this country. The forecast is such. The prediction is that. I'd be careful about any discretionary spending right now. He said, look at the mess we're in and why we're in it. We're in it because we have forsaken God. Verse 8, be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers, but yield yourselves unto the Lord and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever. And serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. For if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if ye return unto him. That's the decree that he delivered, and they mocked, and they laughed. And they said, God who? It doesn't happen overnight. Years of neglect. They hoped in God's mercy. They destroyed the false altars. Verse 15, they offered sacrifices to God. They killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. Yeah, they were a month behind, but praise God, they got it done anyway. Let that be a reminder to you. Say, well, I don't have enough time. Well, get it done when you can, but get it done. The priests and the Levites were ashamed. They should have been. They sanctified themselves. That means they bathed. That means they got right. And they brought in the burnt offerings to the house of the Lord. They stood in their place after their manner, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priests sprinkled the blood which they received at the hand of the Levites. Verse 17, there were many in the congregation. that were not sanctified. Therefore, the Levites had charge of the killing of the Passovers for everyone that was not clean. Well, aren't you glad there's somebody that can stand in the gap for you when you're not ready? They couldn't do it themselves. They came, but they weren't ready. The Levites said, "We'll help you." They made their sacrifices. And then Hezekiah prayed at the end of verse 18. He prayed for them, saying, "Good Lord, pardon everyone that prepareth his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary." He said, "God, I know they weren't ready, but forgive them." You know what God did? God forgave. Look what it says. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah, and he healed the people. He forgave them. He said, "Come on in. I know you're not ready." That's that song we sing, "Just As I Am," right? So, and people say all the time, I've been inviting somebody to church, and they keep saying, "I'm going to be there, but I just hope they'll accept me." They'll accept you. That's the, you know, our church is a loving church, and yes, God will accept them. That's most important. But we don't judge people based on their appearance, on their clothing. And they weren't ready. They didn't know how because they hadn't been taught. But they showed up. That's good. They sought God's forgiveness and they received it. Verse number 21, they feasted. They kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. Aren't you glad you came? Oh, great gladness. You ever feel like you just don't really want to go to church, or you just don't feel like you're up to it, don't feel like you're ready for it, and then you get there and you're just so glad you went? The Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments to the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? You say, "It's too loud." Oh, turn it down. You could get further away from the instruments and it wouldn't be as loud. Music and dancing and singing and worship, and they loved God, and they were reminding the people of God and of worship. They taught the good knowledge of the Lord. They did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. It was not just a feast. It was a spiritual, religious, godly feast. They came back. All because Hezekiah had an idea. He said, "You know what I think we ought to do? I think we ought to do what the Bible says." I think we ought to do what the Bible says. As it is written. Let's go back to that, as it is written. Let's do it God's way. And some didn't come, but those that did had a great time. And got back to God. Look at verse 27 and we're finished. The priests, the Levites arose and they blessed the people. And their voice was heard. And their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. Wow. The priest prayed. Isn't it wonderful to go to church and to be able to pray for people? And then if we have a need, and I know there are people who they say, "Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for praying for me." We need prayer. And we say, "Well, pray for this one and pray for that one." But isn't it a blessing when people actually do it? They actually take that burden, that need, up to heaven in his holy place. And God hears that prayer. All because Hezekiah says, "I think we just ought to do what God says." And that'll help us if we just do what God says. Let's stand. Father, we love you. We love your word. We realize that sometimes it feels like a losing battle. Trying to live our faith in a fallen world, trying to demonstrate as a church our faith and worship and love for you in a world where people have other interests, even church people, even God's people have lost interest. But for those who show up, we thank you for the feast of your word tonight. And pray you'll continue. Pray you'll bring revival to our hearts, to those who have fallen away, those who have backslidden. God, that you would set us on the right course with a burning desire
to honor you. Dismiss us now with your grace. Bring us back again at the next appointed time. Hear our prayers as we go in Jesus' name.